Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business. Praise God. We've been talking about just such a scenario in the Word of God. We've been preaching from Zechariah, the third chapter, finding its symbolic and very strong spiritual significance and application for our lives. And what we've seen so far, poor Joshua, the high priest at that time, Zechariah has a vision, and he is standing before the Lord. He is being resisted by Satan. His clothes are filthy. The Lord says he's a brand plucked out of the fire, but God has a plan and a purpose for showing Zechariah this, just to showing us that God is doing that for us even now. God knows where you are at. Zechariah is seeing a scene set in the heavenlies. The angel of the Lord stood by, and Jesus stands by, beloved, to see that Satan is resisted, that the devil's efforts will fail in your behalf, just as it did his intervention undertook for Joshua, and that unclean, disqualified servant of God, the high priest Joshua, and us, I might say, by comparison, we might, by the all-sufficient grace of God, be cleansed and restored. Here we see a beautiful picture of grace reigning. And grace, even though it wasn't expressed that much, it was evident in the Old Covenant. And so God did all of this. He said, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And verse 5, we see that he was then, these new garments were placed upon him. Joshua, first of all, was forgiven. Verse 4, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And beloved, forgiveness is our first need as sinners and our first need as backsliders. And as I said, the first broadcast this week, I felt there were some that, you know, you've fallen short of the mark, and God's wanting to call you back into a place of devotion and sincerity and walking with God. You've been miserable. I mean, you went out, but the misery in your soul has been, spirit has been so great that you're hurting. And so, in fact, right now, Father, you see those who have, Lord, we just come to you and we ask for the precious blood of Jesus to cleanse every backslider. And Lord, all of us, even though if we have not turned away from you or done grossly, negligent of your call on our lives, nonetheless, Lord, we all have sinned. And Father, we pray for those that have gone far away, Lord, that you will restore them in wonderful fellowship. The blood of Jesus cleanses from sin, and Father, we pray you will restore, just as you did Joshua the high priest, and made him a beautiful, fit servant of God, reflecting obedience and devotion to the cause of Christ. So, Father, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Joshua was forgiven. His iniquity was the Lord caused his iniquity to pass from him. And that's the first need we have, is the Lord's forgiveness. Because all sin, all trespass, all transgressions, that's a sin against God. Remember what David said, was Psalm 51, against thee only, and you have I sinned. Sin is the transgression of his love and of his law. If we lose our fellowship with God, we lose our power for him. But we have a God who is ready to pardon. Psalm 86 and 5 says, "But thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." And if you prayed with me, then know you are restored. And so after there was that forgiveness, there was cleansing. Verse 4, "Take away the filthy garments." How could anyone who claims to have received the forgiveness of sin continue to wear the filthy garments of continued sin and self-righteousness? In Colossians 3 and 9, we see the word advising us, exhorting us, "Put off the old man with his deeds." Filthy garments are not to be covered over, or they can't be washed. They have to be taken away. There must be a complete change of garment necessary, which the Lord provides. And of course, we see that's exactly what happens. Verse 4, "He was clothed with a change of raiment," a change of clothing. And what a change when we get rid of our soiled and torn and holy with holes, not holy as an attribute of God, and receive the robe of righteousness. Those garments of praise, of salvation, of righteousness are the garments that only Christ can bestow. It is that righteousness, beloved, that makes us right with God. When none of us are perfect, but because of Jesus' sacrifice at Calvary, all of our sin has been dealt with, past, present, and future. But we do not violate the grace of God. We do not crucify the Son of God afresh and just think, well, we can live any way we want and just ask for forgiveness. No, no. You're getting a very dangerous territory there. Paul talks about it as crucifying the Son of God afresh, and there can be no more forgiveness of sin. So we have to be very careful in our terms of walking with God, that we walk in the fear of the Lord, because Jesus said, "Fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And it is his righteousness that makes us right with God, and right and cleansed and holy for our priestly office as kings and priests unto our God. And so remember that the priesthood, there's not only forgiveness for our own sin, but also as we intercede for others, we're standing in the gap. And then we see a fair mitre was set upon his head in verse 5. And the mitre, or if you will, that's an old-fashioned word. It's a crown. It was the crown of his priesthood, the symbol of divine authority, beloved. When the battle's over, we will wear a crown. You know, Paul talked about that, a crown of righteousness, which is laid up for me and all who love the Lord's appearing. And so we will receive crowns, a symbol of divine authority. Other translations, including the Amplified, translate this verse as turban. And we know, in referencing the Old Testament instructions to Moses in Exodus 28:36 through 38, this is the Amplified, "And you shall make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord." This is what they had to wear on their heads. "You shall fasten it on the front of the turban with a blue cord. It shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may take upon himself and bear any iniquity connected with the holy things which the Israelites shall give and dedicate." Thank God we don't have those sacrificial offerings anymore. We've had Jesus, who was the final, ultimate sacrifice once and for all. "And it shall always be upon his forehead." Those were types and symbols and foreshadowings of what was to come, "that they may be accepted before in the Lord in the priest's person." So all God's cleansed and clothed ones, we're crowned with his glory and honor. We're crowned with what God has bestowed upon us. This priestly crown indicates that Joshua, as well as we, beloved, the people of God, are now reinstated, and we are accepted in God's presence. Isn't that beautiful? It's what all that God does in these few brief verses. My goodness, it talks about the warfare of the enemy. It talks about God rebuking Satan. It talks about Joshua being cleansed, us being cleansed, our iniquity passing from us. Not only that, we get us a brand new set of clothes, and we get glory and honor. We get a crown upon our heads, a symbol of authority, of ruling with him. Praise God. And so as we've been accepted in the Beloved, we see in Exodus the 30th chapter, verse 32, that the holy anointing oil was put upon the mitered head of the priest. We know in accordance with Scripture, the upon man's flesh, that sacred oil shall not be poured. That was verse 31. But say to the Israelites, this is the holy anointing oil, and of course we understand now that's a symbol of the Holy Spirit, that this holy anointing oil is sacred to me alone throughout your generations. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon what God himself hath given, not upon the works of our flesh, beloved, or our good intentions or motives, but on that which God has established. And then, interesting, in verse 5, you know, the Lord is speaking in those few verses. Again, I'm talking about chapter 3 of Zechariah. The Lord says, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. I clothe thee with the change of raiment. That's the Lord, angel of the Lord, speaking to the high priest Joshua. And then I said, this is now Zechariah the prophet, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they did, clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord was just standing by watching all of this. He made the request, and notice that this request was granted before the garment was even put on. Praise God. Isn't that not beautiful? Well, we will save the remainder, the renewed promise for him. We'll look at that tomorrow. I thank you for joining me. And let me just share a brief portion of a letter from a sister writing from Hemet, California. Thank you for writing. Thank you for telling me the importance of my relationship with God in this way. Thank you for renewing my hope in God's faithfulness and his love for me. Praise God. And so I invite you to write. We all need that assurance of God's love. So many testimonies I could share, but I really want to share the word. And I just invite you to write and know that your life can be greatly impacted, not only by the prayers of our as we agree together, but with whatever God gives to me to be a blessing to you. I personally pray for every letter, every person that writes. In nobody else answers the mail but myself. It's a sacred privilege and honor I have before the Lord. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. Should you choose to email, that's great. I will confirm receipt and pray. But if you'd like that personal letter, I invite you to enclose your mailing address, never to be shared, and I will personally respond to you. I love you. I thank you for your prayers in behalf of the ministry and for myself, and know that I pray for you also every day, and I love you with the love of the Lord, a deep affection that God has put in my heart for you. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.